twice, so it was good. I got the nice smile. Matt, you already welcomed people. I'm going to do this. More comfortable. I got to get closer again. I'm going to get in front of that. I'm going to get in trouble. Make up your mind, son. Okay, so new year, no 2020 vision jokes, because they're overdone by dads everywhere in Canada, and especially at my house, because everybody thinks that they're funny guys. So none of that. Hopefully, we can get around that this morning. So we're going to start a new series. Feels dead. That just didn't land, hey? That's okay. So this year, we're starting something a little bit different. This is going to be called Starting Your Year. And we're going to start looking at some spiritual disciplines. Over the next 4 weeks, we're going to try to present, between Darren and I, about four spiritual disciplines that we find are most helpful for engaging our relationship with Christ. And oftentimes in churches, the first Sunday or that transition Sunday, maybe it was the 29th last week or this first Sunday of the month is let the youth pastor speak month, you know, if that makes any sense for those of you that sort of go to church way too often, because you never know who's going to be here and how things are going to kick off, so let the young guy cut his teeth. But this morning, I've already cut my teeth, and I have to present something to you that often is overlooked. And sometimes when we hear it, we start to roll our eyes. But it's something that we need to do well starting now if you're not already doing it. And that is getting into the Word of God, getting into the Scriptures. I can only imagine that anyone who is experienced in their ages would probably say, if asked, what do you wish you did more as a Christian? I'll bet you 9 out of 10 stats are made up anyways, but I would bet you that the majority of people polled or asked would say, I wish that I spent more time memorizing or reading or getting to know the Scriptures, getting to know my Bible. I just didn't do it enough. Or isn't it so wonderful, I don't know if you've ever had the experience of having somebody has memorized a large chunk of Scripture, and they get up there and they don't read it, and it's just, they're speaking it out, it's in their heart, it's in their mind, it's flowing out of them, and you sit back and you're like, man, that was so powerful. That they just spoke God's Word from their heart, and it's really amazing. I know Lisa Rorick does that amazingly. A couple Christmases ago, she did the whole Christmas story, and she dresses up, and she tells it so amazingly. Now, there's another man who's a pastor in Sylvan Lake, Alberta. His name's Tim Bergman, and he does some dramatic tellings. He's done a few videos and promotional things. But this morning, we're looking at this new series, and this morning it's Race Runners, running the race. We got to start, we got to run it, and we've got to finish it. And I'm hoping to help us wrap our heads around and give you some practical ideas and applications on how you can dig into your Bibles using apps, reading through the year, reading the good old-fashioned just paperback Bible so you could, like mine, scribble it all up and stick your notes in it. And there's all sorts of fun things that come with that. So that's what we're looking at. And this series is a lot better than my wife has been talking to me about doing January health bingo. And this just seems like it could be another one of those squares on there. You know, that's maybe do some exercises or eat right for a week or quit a bad habit. You know, bingo, you can tick them off as you do them. And I thought, why not just stick this one on your health bingo sheet? Started a personal devotional time in 2020. You know, maybe that will help you today. So I'm going to introduce to you this morning a spiritual discipline of Bible study or getting into the Word of God. And so I'm using 1 Corinthians 9:24 through 26 as the epitome of your illustration. So some of you will have Bibles in your chairs in front of you. I'm going to read it for you. You have smartphones, tablets. You're welcome to pull them out. And I'm going to read it again for you here this morning. And Paul says this. He says, do you not know, friends, that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training, and they do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly, and I do not fight like a boxer just beating the air. And I think that this is kind of this idea, and I like to do it. I don't know how many of you have seen the Rocky Balboa movies. You sort of know them, so you know how silly it is. He's getting all sweaty and punching the bag, and he's running up the streets of the state building on the, in Philadelphia there, the big bell, and it's cracked, and he gets to the top, and, you know, this scene, like, that's the epitome of this scene. He's training to fight. He's training to win. But how silly, not S-T-U-P-I-D, because there's kids, and I have a little one who's saying words that I shouldn't be saying. How silly would it be if he did all this training and then just never actually got in the boxing ring? You know, what would be the point of this? This is aimless. This is doing it for someone who does it for a prize rather than for an everlasting crown. And so the illustration here is, how are we training? How are we doing this with our Christian lives? Are we actually doing the running? Are we doing the punching training? Are we, this is a race. Are we doing our stretches, our sprints, our long distance running? Are we doing those things and actually engaging this race? Or are we just sort of doing what the majority of Christians probably do and go, oh, Bible study, Bible reading, you know, something I'm supposed to do, but not a sin if I don't. Kind of like some other things are. Understand what I see? I think most of us can relate with that just a little bit. But we ask this question to ourselves, and Paul is asking us, why run and train for this distance race if you're never actually going to lace up your shoes and take off? And so it is, like our faith, we need to engage all of these disciplines. We're going to look at Bible study, prayer, fasting, the idea of confession. It's not just a big C Catholic thing that happens. Worship, fellowship, rest, celebration, service, generosity, chastity, or some people call it a sexual purity, and disciple making, okay? Just in case chastity gets people scared. Self-discipline in our sexuality, okay? So these are all activities that we should engage in order to, put it this way, to reap the benefits of a relationship with Jesus Christ. When we practice Bible study and prayer and fasting, confession, we reap all of the benefits of doing those things with Christ because Christ already did them, right? He set that example, and now we ought to follow in his example, and this is what we do. Again, I use a lot of Paul, but he's talking to young Timothy here, and he says in 1 Timothy, he says, train yourself for godliness, for while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way. It holds promise for the present life, but also for life to come. I mean, doing these things, the Word of God says, holds value in every way. It holds its promise for now and for what's to come. You know, I look at it this way. Why have a Costco membership if you never go and get an obnoxiously large box of cashews? Why pay all that money to have that, you know, discount if you're never going to actually use it? Or, you know, the gym membership, and you never really go. The idea is, the more that you do these spiritual disciplines, unlike Costco, the more you do this, the more you unlock in your relationship with Christ. The fear is that the more you go to Costco, the more unnecessarily stuff piles up in your home. Right? And my parents just moved to Thailand, and there was so many Costco things I had to just get rid of all over the place, okay? And so this morning, we wanted to start with Scripture and even sort of tie in prayer there because we think that often it gets overlooked, but without looking at it in Scripture first, some of these other things don't really quite make sense. See, the Scriptures teach us how to pray. The Scriptures tell us why we fast and how to fast. It talks about confessing to one another. It talks about worship of the Father. It talks about being together and Sabbath rest, which comes up next week, because you know how good we are at taking the time that we need for ourselves. To think of the Sunday school song, fill up my cup, let it overflow, fill up my cup. You know that one? You know, let it overflow with joy. Well, if you're never filling the cup up, you have nothing to pour out. Nobody knows that one? I didn't even get a single nod. That's okay. I'm a little more interactive, but that's okay. I'll sing it for you next week. We'll do a round of it. You can do that one in rounds. So we wanted to talk about starting with scriptures and invite you into this race with us. We do have some resources available. Again, put that emphasis out there. We have the daily bread stuff. We have it printed. You can get that for free resources online. I have Reading the Bible in a Year, and I'm going to talk about the YouVersion app of the Bible because I really think that it's a gift to God's people that's being underused. But here's a big key word that we have to sort of use as fallen people, and that's accountability. And I was talking to a friend just the other day while we were out hunting. We were talking about accountability stuff, and we think that the easiest way to make accountability work is to tell someone that you're engaging in this spiritual discipline. It could be a spouse, it could be a trusted friend. Darren and I like to say that a friend is someone who you know you can disagree with, and still stay friends, right? That's a true friend. You can disagree about something, and you know you're still going to be friends. You can be honest, and you know that they're feeling the same way with you. This has got to be someone who will ask you regularly, and who you're not going to lie to or feel guilty about what you are or aren't doing and how you're staying on track, okay? Accountability is going to be the key to doing this, and this is why I like the YouVersion app, okay? For those of you who are not using it, it is your little Bible app. It gets on Android, iPhone, whatever it is that you're using. Okay, and inside of the app, it has all sorts of different reading plans. It'll have topics, conversations, etc. All sorts of different things. You can do, you do it. I'm not going to tell you, I'm going to do a promo for the app. But I am doing a promo for the app and saying that there is a million different things that you can read through Bible in a Year. There's children's story reading stuff, adults, youth, all sorts of different topics that you can read through and work through. And the best thing about it is that if you have somebody else, a friend who wants to do the same thing with you, it's like magical internet stuff. You can link up and you can see. And you click the little bubble that you've read, they've read, and there's a little comment box, and you can leave a little note in there, and it has a little tracker on it, so you're doing the accountability all at the same time. Okay, so that's my little blurb for why I like that YouVersion app. I use it with people in our youth group often, is it doesn't really give you other private information unless you want to put your information in there. You know, you just kind of click that you've read it, and you get to ask each other questions about it, and in doing that, people know that we've read it, and we have conversation pieces. You know, we've made it so that the conversation isn't just, hey, did you read your, how are you doing? Did you read your Bible? It turns into, hey, how are things going? And the emphasis is already on, I'm not asking you about the weather, how you're really doing. I'm asking you about what we've been, you know, accountable with each other with, okay? If you don't like seeing these things from other people, you don't have to flag it. And for the old schoolers, I'm sort of back and forth. I'm sometimes in the physical word, and I'm often using it on the phone because I'm a millennial, okay? So with all of that covered, I know that's kind of cringy a little bit for some of us, but with that being covered, here's the second part. So the first part is accountability, but the scripture says that we're running for a prize, okay? So with that prize, what is it? Well, it's an everlasting relationship with Jesus Christ, and we unlock these benefits for life, okay? So here's what we're looking at. There's got to be a goal for this training, otherwise we don't really have a trajectory. You know, hockey, we're shooting at a net. Archery, we're shooting at a dartboard. You have an object, you have an aim, you have a direction that you want to go. Darren's word is trajectory. What is the church's trajectory? Where are we going? Where is God taking us? All right, so that's a really good, bold word for what is our goal? What's our direction? And it has to be clear that our goal is to be filled with knowledge and understanding of the scriptures as Christ Jesus was. The goal is to gain intimacy, into me see, with God through understanding his word. And this is often accompanied with our prayers, and prayers are just our conversations, our verbalization of our thoughts, our fears, our emotions, our meditations, and speaking them out to God. It's an intentional conversation, not just leaning on your scripture verses. It's, you know, he knows everything. He knows my thoughts. He knows it, and his plans are great and mine are good. He knows everything anyways, so why do I have to tell him? It's the same reason we have to talk to our boyfriends and girlfriends, our husbands and wives. We have to express our intentions with our children. You have to speak them out loud because they just can't be assumed. We can't assume anything. We have to engage it. Psalm 19:14 is one that we could probably, you know, but when I say the numbers, it might not mean much. But may the words of my mouth, meditations of my heart be pleasing in your sight, my rock and my redeemer. You know, aim at that. Make that your goal. That the words of your mouth and the meditations of your heart be pleasing to the Lord. Why? Because what you're thinking about is influenced by what you've been reading about. By what you're speaking about is influenced about what you're studying. And those things start to, like the good science term, you're a permeable membrane. You know, these things just, they just come through your outer, that's right? You got the outside wall and it just starts to come in and it takes control. Why don't we aim to be permeated by the Word of God? To be soaked in it. Okay, sort of four or five quick examples here. Jesus knew the scriptures better than anyone. Some of the first stories we hear about him, the people are amazed. As a young boy, he's in the temple. He understands the scriptures. He's answering questions, and he's baffling the minds of these Pharisees who are trying to trap this little boy and figure out, well, how does this little guy know so much about the scriptures? He knew them. He read them. He quoted them. When he was teaching, when he's tempted in the wilderness, he leans on God. How are we tempted on a daily basis? Is there not scripture that we can lean on to help us endure? He regularly quotes it in his teaching. He begins his ministry and closes his ministry reading by a public reading of the book of Isaiah, and he leaves us with the call to go and do as he has done. He becomes the Word in John 1. He becomes flesh. He dwells among us. Hello, Christmas season. Emmanuel, God with us. He isn't just this person who was in heaven and comes down. He took the Word. He became it. He came to live it out for us and with us. And that should be something that is a bit of a blessing to us. That it's not just a bunch of stories. This is one of the things going through ordination, had to write a paper on the scriptures, and I gave the rote, W-R-O-T-E answer. God breathed the scriptures, they recorded it, and a bunch of people dedicated their lives to re-recording it, and rooms full of, you know, guys who didn't do anything but write down scriptures, and it's passed down and passed down, and the teacher just said, Matt, you don't really believe what you've written here. And I thought, is he telling me I don't believe in the scriptures? Like, what are you really saying here? He says, I don't think you believe this book because a bunch of people dedicated their lives to writing down every comma and square and everything down perfectly and dedicated their lives to it. I just don't believe anything that you've written here. And I thought, well, you're right. I don't believe this Bible because a bunch of people took a lot of time to write down very carefully all of the little letters. I believe this book because it's a book about stories of people who had relationships with an almighty God, and those are recorded, and it's living and active, and the only way to get to know the relationships that are in this book is to have your own. It's Jesus Christ and his dad. And the more you get into it, the more you get to reap those benefits and understand and come to understand those relationships. But without that relationship, it's just a book. Just like Shakespeare, just a collection of stories that make you laugh, make you cry, or make you want to grab a spear and kill some heathens, you know? There, see, that one's good. But really, okay, so that's sort of a really big emphasis, and that was something that was a big struggle going through the ordination process was, what do we really believe about the scriptures? What do they really mean to you? Because if it's just about someone carefully rewriting them over and over again so that they're inerrant, you know, then don't just give me this answer. You got to have a relationship with that Bible. So that's that part. That's how Christ was. He became that. It's a physical and spiritual relationship that we have with him. Physical in being that he actually came, dwelt among us, died on a physical cross, okay? There is a physical relationship there. Okay, and then the other thing that I've done here, so how should I read the word? How do I get into it? You've told me, read it. What do I do? Oftentimes, I try to coach, and I've done it here. I take the big whiteboard. I'd like to do SOAP. Scripture, observation, application, prayer. And I know some of you have been here and had it. I've done it. You get kind of sick and tired of it. But this is how I do my devotions, and I think that it helps because you can look back and see what you think. So just for oversimplifying it, because I can do that really easily, you look at a verse like John 3:16, 3:17. Flip it open there. We can do it. Well, you know it, right? But so what we're going to do, you pick your verse. So the first one is you pick your scriptures. It can be a big chunk, it can be a little chunk, it really doesn't matter. So we look at it. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to judge the world, but so that the world might be saved through him." So, that's my scripture. I've got it chunked out. I look at my second letter, observation. And this is where I'm going to ask you to be uncomfortable for a second. There's got to be at least one other extrovert in the room. What do we observe in these couple of verses? What is it that we see? Any answers? When you see this, when you read this, what is it that you see? What do you observe in the story? You observe the love of God. We observe that he didn't just stay in heaven. He interacted with us. There's an observation. You know, mine is, it's kind of nice, he didn't send, you know, his Son into the world just to judge it, but to save it. You know, the love of God, the saving life of Christ, that's an observation, right? I look at the next letter, application. So, what does that mean for me? God's love and how he came down and interacted, apply it. How do I apply that to life today? That stinky teenager that I don't want to show respect to. God loves him. God saved him. All these applications start to love others the way that Christ did. What does that mean? It means getting off your high horse and coming down and being with those who are around you. Live thankfully united with Christ, because it's obvious that some people in this world aren't living united with Christ. So maybe an application could be to let people know that, hey, God did come to save you. There's a lot of different ways we can start to apply this. And then the last letter is P, prayer. You know, Lord, this week, help me to love people as you've loved them. I'll tell you one thing, if you've never been a pastor, it's really easy to sit in these shoes or in this side of the Christian faith and judge people. Like, we make the joke, and it will bring it, well, if I don't judge someone, then God's going to have to. You know, this is sort of one of these pastor jokes. If we don't judge them, God has to. And if I don't cast some kind of judgment, are they going to change their behaviors? Well, you know what, Matt? That's not your honking job. Your job is to give the love of Christ to people. That's his business, is the judgment. You should show his love as Christ has loved you. Because if you got judged on what you've done, boy, you're just as much a stinker as everybody else. Right? So these are some of the observations, applications, and prayer. I get it. I hope this is slightly encouraging. I know that it's one of those things, and I put a couple of jokes that are sort of not on the script, but really, this is something, like at the beginning, I really do mean that this is something that once you start to have a relationship, and we're not just talking about the relationship that you can have with this book, when this relationship ship starts to come to life, you know, all the stories in here, all the songs that we sing, the lyrics are not just songs, they become praises, they become reflective times of what it is that God has done for us. You know, worthy is the lamb that was slain. You know, why do we call God a lamb? You know, these answers and our mighty warrior or the Lion of Judah or these kinds of questions start to come to life. And part of what we're doing here in the next, starting again next week, is this idea of refresh on Thursday nights. Whether you can be at a Bible study or not on your regular time, you don't have to RSVP, you don't have to come if you don't want to, come when you can. But part of what we're doing on Thursday nights is unlocking what we've talked about on Sundays, both me and what Darren has talked about, and digging into them, asking questions. This last year, we were talking about how do we share our faith? Well, you got to know something in here to be able to share something. And how is it that we share? Well, how did Jesus share? And how do we encourage each other and have accountability and pray with each other? And that's one of the ways that we're digging into this relationship with each other and with Christ. It's something that we offer here. We unpack these things. Okay? So, three questions to sort of wrap some of this up. I was at a church this last week because I was in Calgary, and they sort of asked sort of three kind of interesting questions in starting your year right. The first was to look inward, look at ourselves first. The first scripture was, are you running a race aimlessly for a prize, or are you running this race for a crown that will last forever? When we look at ourselves, am I running the race, that Jesus has called me to? Am I truly invested in his word? Am I truly invested in my relationship with him? And am I inviting and influencing other people into that? How am I personally doing with that? If you find an area of lacking, here you go. This is where you can work on. Do you commit the time to pray, to study, to engage this? If not, hey, 5 minutes a day is a lot better than never. Okay, that should be encouraging again. If you're not doing anything, you can see the encouragement is start doing something. The worst thing that can happen is you learn about your relationship with Christ. This is like one of those, what do you call it, win-wins. It's like at very worst, you learn some scriptures and you learn that there's some really weird stuff in the Old Testament. That's like the worst thing that could happen. And the best thing that can happen is endless possibilities because God is infinite. That's... Oh, that should be encouraging, okay? And then, so once we're done looking inward, we start looking outward, okay? And this is always a really hard one because the third one is going to be applying, but the second idea is to look, who around me? Who do I need to be influencing with my words and my actions? You know, as somebody who works with some of the youth here and there, it's like, how are you influencing them? What needs do they have? What are they looking for? You know, is the online connection just as valuable as the face-to-face connection? Science says it's more important that we have the face-to-face stuff than just the online stuff. But perhaps if we get in their world, you know, they'll trust us and we can get them in this world a little bit. You know, that's one way. You got to see this. Look outward. What does that mean? I've learned that at the Columbia House there, it means swapping tables at dinner time. You live with however many people live over there, but you eat with so-and-so here, and then the next day you eat over here, and you get to meet everybody around you, and they say, oh, just, you know, get to know each other. Look outward. What resources do you have, knowledge or time or friendship, to offer somebody else who needs it? If we're always looking in and we're never looking out and never applying, you know, we're overlooking the needs that are around us. How about this one? Do you have family? Do you have friends you need to catch up with? You know, before there's this like really big distance and they live all the way on the other side of the world, you know, reality sets in. Or maybe you have family in town or in your city and you never see them. Got to connect, got to do those kinds of things. Have some awkward conversations. Hey, the pastor on Sunday told me maybe I should give you a call. I'm giving you a call. How you doing? Maybe you'll be surprised at some of the answers that you might hear if we start doing these kinds of things. Because the scripture don't tell us to focus on ourselves. It says to love others as Christ has loved us. Quote doesn't fit in here anymore. So, one of the most beautiful things that I have been made very aware of this last year, and this is sort of the close here for sure. I gave you your three questions. Is how Jesus lived his life and invites us into his story. Through this transition here, it's been really cool to see how Darren has helped us in the leadership in seeing here's the life of the church based off of the life of Christ. We've all been invited into it. been made very aware, and I know that might sound silly because I'm the pastor, but I've been made very, very aware of how Christ has invited us to get involved. Stories of when the children are too far and Christ is teaching and the children can't get to him, he says, let the little children come to me. I want them close to me. I want to talk to them. I want them to hear what I have to say. You know, Christmas, he makes himself near. We need a story of John 4 and the woman at the well. And he just says, you know what, I see what you've been doing. Stop doing it. Go and sin no more. He heals lame people. He says, stand up, get up and walk. Blind, open your eyes and see. And how many days I'm that blind person or that lame person or that sinful person that Jesus is saying, get up, Matt, and walk. You're not lame. Open your eyes. I can help you see. You know, he has invited us into this relationship. And so the prayer really is that we can open our ears and our eyes to the Word of God, that these things will come true in your life. And I can say that with absolute boldness and 100% because I have a relationship with the God of this book, of these scriptures. If you do it, it will pay off. Any time spent in relationship with Jesus is time worth spending. And so he's asking us to open our eyes and our hearts and to receive him that we could share all of the glories of a right relationship with him. Don't have a Costco membership and not shop at Costco. Do that no more. Okay, if that's all you take out of today, take that. There is so much more information in here than Costco could ever box or ever price or ever sell you. So you've been given an opportunity at a wonderful benefits package. Start using it, okay? I am going to put that there. Kira's friend said once a little while ago, and I don't remember who it was, so I'm sorry, Kira. But they said, when you skip or miss church, you're not the one that misses out. I almost did it. Everyone else misses out because they don't get to be with you. Almost did it. Visitors, I almost cry every stupid time I do this. But really, 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 you know, when yeah, you cry too, yeah, okay. When we don't spend that time with the scriptures, you know, we miss out on that relationship with Christ. So don't do that. Come, let's sing a song, we can be done.